The law says bullying is words or actions by a student towards another student. To be bullying, the behavior results or could result in being afraid of harm to your body or property, negative effects on physical or mental health, effects on performance in school, and effects on participation in school activities and services. So like if your child is refusing to go to school because of what is happening, the IEP team needs to know, because this is blocking your child's free access to a public education.
Hi, brave friends. Welcome to Ask Us Anything. I'm Jessica Pate, your host of Brave Together podcast, and I'm joined by two fantastic co-hosts.
Hi, I'm Susanna Peace Lavelle. I am the author of Your True Self is Enough, Lessons Learned on My Journey Parenting a Child with Autism. I'm a certified professional life coach. I'm a soul care coach, and I'm an advocate for the health and wellness of disability families everywhere.
I'm Dr. Zoe. I'm so thrilled to be here. I am a licensed psychotherapist, a writer, a speaker, an author.
And together we have about 60 years of motherhood experience, and we are so excited to share ourselves, share our experiences, share our wisdom,
and speak to other brave or wannabe brave mamas and ask sometimes those ungoogleable questions, because we have questions. And as a psychotherapist, there's nothing new under the sun. I've heard it all. And so there's no question that's too hard, or even, I hope, not too embarrassing.
We are honored to be a source of support for our beloved community.
It is my privilege and my honor to serve and support moms who have children who struggle in any and every single way.
May you feel seen and heard and not alone.
Ask us anything.
Hi, Brave Together podcast. My question is about bullying at school. My kid comes home rattled and venting about things other kids have said to them at school, but I truly don't know what to do about it. How do I help my child with this? Should I be talking to their teachers, principal, or maybe the IEP team? This has been an ongoing problem, and I'd love some advice. Thank you.
All right, so this like really hurts my heart to think about bullying. And it also like activates the mama bear instinct in me. Like, I will take you down if you hurt my child. So the only thing that comforts me that I don't spin in the worry cycle about this for Ryan is he always has somebody with him. He's never alone. And so I think that's protected him, because there's a grown-up next to him. You know, he's not like off alone doing something on campus. But if he didn't, I would be probably spinning with worry and heartache, because he's vulnerable.
Yeah, our kiddos are vulnerable. And my daughter, now she has a one-on-one. A few years ago, she didn't have the one-on-one with her all the time. And we had some issues of bullying in the bathroom. So she was always with someone except when she went into the bathroom at school. She had some issues there with the girls calling her names, making fun of her speech. And yeah, it just, her being bullied actually led to school refusal. And then it was so hard to, and we're still having issues with school refusal. We still are. And it was so hard to get the people in the IEP, all of the 25 people in the IEP, to really get on board with understanding that, number one, it's not okay. Number two, it's happening. No, it's not just kids will be kids, which still, that's what I was hearing. And yeah, and it can be so painful. But what I want to talk about for the mom who's listening, whose child may have been bullied, or she may suspect that her child is bullied, is also her own internal response. Because we have our own, you know, experiences as kids, as teenagers, and we then can be triggered by our own children if they're bullied or if something is said to them. And so I would like to just encourage that mom who, if that happens to your child, that you can really work on trying to separate what might have happened to you when you were younger and what's happening to you now. Part of the reason is because we project things onto our children, right? And sometimes, and this is a question I want to actually talk about with you guys, sometimes our children can be bullied and not even know it's happening. And so I think the question is, what do we do about that? How do we talk to our children about that when we see something that's not okay? And we see our kid maybe continuing, because my daughter would like follow some girls, you know, that she wanted to hang out with, and they were being really mean to her, but she didn't necessarily recognize it. So there's bullying that kids can recognize, and then there's bullying that they don't recognize. Either way, as a mom, I get triggered either way. So I wonder if we could talk about that too.
That's a great question, because my fear sometimes in bringing things up with Ryan is then he'll obsess about it. And also within PWS, there's a lot of, what's the fancy word? Confabulation. There's a lot of lying that goes on for attention or reaction. And so I'm afraid if I were to bring it up with Ryan, that he might tell some stories, false stories at school. So it's tough. If I witnessed it and I didn't see him notice it, I definitely would bring, like if it were in a school setting, let's say, I would probably definitely bring it up to the teacher, let the aide know, let the team know that I observed it, but it didn't seem that Ryan picked it up, just so that they would know that it's happening and just to be on alert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's an excellent way to approach it. And then when it happens to your child and your child is aware of it, that's when we have to have those conversations. You know, my daughter came to me once specifically after being bullied at school, and she asked me, she said, "Why did God make me wrong?" And I remember, you know, at first I gave her some kind of cliched response that was just like a Band-Aid on, you know, a gaping wound. But later what I did was I went back and I talked to her and we started affirmations. And she really, really loves her affirmations, because it just kind of, you know, I talk to her about affirmations being vegetables or being like vitamins that we take, and we might not feel better right away, but when we do them over time, they have an effect. And those affirmations, you know, that she tells herself that she's smart, she tells herself, you know, that she's capable. We talk about the things that she can do, and she just gets the biggest smile on her face when we work on her affirmations. And so I would encourage any mom out there who has a child who may be dealing with some low self-esteem, who may be recognizing their deficits and comparing and seeing the differences, to work on affirmations.
So helpful. Arizona does too. Necessary. Mm-hmm. Consistency. Yes.
It's interesting when you kind of dig into this bullying, and then if you look it up separately, like bullying and kids with disabilities, what you find. And there are laws that govern bullying and disability harassment. And I think it's really important for people to know. There's a great article that we will definitely link in our show notes from Disability Rights California about bullying and harassment of students with disabilities. And the law says bullying is words or actions by a student towards another student. To be bullying, the behavior results or could result in being afraid of harm to your body or property, negative effects on physical or mental health, effects on performance in school, and effects on participation in school activities and services. So like if your child is refusing to go to school because of what is happening, the IEP team needs to know, because this is blocking your child's free access to a public education. So you have rights. You have rights. If you don't feel like a teacher, an aide, the behavior leader, program specialist, if you feel like you're not being heard, then you can put in writing and CC everyone and CC the superintendent, "My child is refusing to go to school," or "My child is refusing to attend this class or this activity at school because he or she was being bullied. He or she is afraid to go. This is affecting their access to the curriculum. This is affecting their access to the program or what have you. And you put it all in writing if you feel like you are not being heard. You have rights. You have rights. You have rights. You have rights.
Yes. And if you struggle in IEPs to speak up, to assert yourself, you can, if your child is a part of the regional center, you can request an advocate and they can come to the IEP with you and address those things.
Yep, that's good to know. A free advocate, correct?
Yes, the regional center will provide a free advocate for your IEPs. And you can talk with the advocate beforehand and let them know what's going on and what the issues are and how you feel like you're not being heard. And the advocate can come with you, sit with you at the IEP and advocate for you and your child.
Great. Susanna, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that's always a great idea, no matter what.
That's true. It is. Also, you can request an IEP meeting if this is happening. So let's make sure we include that. So parents can use the IEP process to address bullying. And that's a great opportunity to express all your concerns. And you can also make a written request for assessment if parents believe that bullying is negatively affecting their child or how they are doing in school. You can make a written request for assessment. Again, from that Disability Rights California article. You request an assessment of your child's mental and emotional well-being, and then possibly you could get some services to help your child who's being impacted by the bullying. So, do you feel like our kids specifically are taught enough about bullying?
My answer would be no. I'm not sure where they would be getting it other than what we teach them at home. I know that my daughter does understand it now because we've used that word after some incidents happened at school. But I can't say that I've been aware of any specific teaching or education in her class regarding bullying that has happened. What would you guys say?
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I do think that, you know, Arizona has talked about just various conversations, you know, at the school, maybe after an incident at school, not necessarily toward her, but, you know, the teachers might talk about it, administration might send out a little memo, but there's no curriculum that I know of. I mean, there's no sort of, here's the edict of, you know, how we are going to handle bullying. You know, we hear things like, oh, it's never tolerated. Great. That's good to know. But like, what is bullying? I mean, this is a conversation I've had with Arizona all week because she's going through a particular real time situation right now. So, but I, you know, there is like the mental health office and the check-in center at the school, but that's like a, it's almost like in response to, it's like a reaction. Mm-hmm. It's a reactive, mm-hmm. not a proactive approach, in my opinion. So yeah, I agree with you, Zoe. Like it really is, what are we teaching our children at home? You know, the signs, mm-hmm. the, especially for those of our, of us who have kiddos, all three of us who are vulnerable. Right. And might not understand when someone's laughing at them as opposed to with them, you know?
Yeah. And I think you make a really great point because the schools have been very vocal and no tolerance for bullying. We don't tolerate bullying. But I'm not even sure that all of the staff and administration is really clear about, number one, what bullying is. And then number two, what do we do about it? How do we identify it clearly? Yes. Because bullying can be kind of subtle and it's not something we can always see. And so, although I think the intent is they don't tolerate it, right? I don't know that that always happens in practice.
I think some of the teachers are bullies, to be honest. You know, sometimes I've heard how they sort of like talk to students or treat students. I'm like, that's really bullying behavior, you know? Anyhow, that is, you know.
That is a topic for another podcast, right?
Yeah.
I think that schools definitely have like anti-bullying assemblies, you know, I think it's like probably required every year to hold those. But I kind of think that there should be something specialized for our kids. You know, it should be talked about at back to school night, you know, when we go and see our kids' teachers, and especially if they are in, you know, a smaller classroom or a special education classroom or, you know, skills independence classroom or whatever it is, you know, called in middle school or high school. Absolutely. I think it should be brought up. And yeah, I think it almost should be even a question that's asked at every IEP. And maybe we can empower our parents who are listening to ask that question, because schools are not going to want to bring it up if they've observed it because of living in such a litigious state or country, but I think developing a good rapport with your child's aide, if they have one part-time, full-time, that's really, really important. And they know everything and see everything. And so you can check in subtly, not, you know, with your guns blazing, but just like, hey, how, you know, when you do your little check-ins with an aide at school, or if you text, because I always get texts from aides, which is nice. I always get their cell phone. And you can just kind of ask, you know, non-threatening. It's just kind of like your regular check-in and just see. It pains me to think, I mean, okay, all kids are mean. They're just mean. And I mean, we've all experienced it at some point, a mean kid, at least once in our childhood or middle school or high school or even college experience. You're like, wouldn't we grow out of it by college? But no. And so the thought of our kids being teased or being made to feel less than when they already have their struggles, it breaks my heart. So if any mom is out there and their child has experienced this, we are just sending you so much love and so much care and so much, I see you and I got you and we're here for you. And if anybody wants to reach out to any of us just to talk privately about that, we'd be happy to talk to you and support you through it.
And you know, Jessica, I think you make a great point when you talked about the assemblies, you know, that they might have yearly in the schools. And my thought was, I don't even know if my daughter makes it to those assemblies. Does her special needs class show up in those assemblies?
Right.
I don't know.
Ooh,
right.
Good point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So something to think about, something I'm definitely going to be asking about on the next IEP.
Yes.
Because even though that information may be distributed to the general population, I don't know that it's getting trickled down to the specialized classes.
That is an excellent question. I mean, one more thing to be on top of is the assemblies at school, and is my child participating? Mm-hmm. What if you've written in, you've done all the things, you have all the documentation, and you still feel like nobody's listening?
Yeah, that's such a hard place for a mom to be, because just like we were talking about before, we already have so many things that we're trying to advocate for our children, and to have yet another one. I would definitely double down on getting the regional center advocate. If the resources are there, an attorney is crazily, it's really sad to me, actually, what happens when you get an attorney. And it's sad to me because not everyone has access to an attorney. But when you get one, all of a sudden, the school system responds so quickly. And they start to provide you with all of the things that you are legally entitled to, but sometimes they have to be pushed in that way. And so sometimes contacting someone outside of yourself that could help advocate for you is helpful. If you've already written the letters and gone up higher in administration, if you haven't, I suggest that you do that. But if you already have, then it's definitely time to probably try to get someone outside involved.
It's the thing that we have learned how to do really well with regard to just being tenacious and being a nice and diplomatic squeaky wheel. Nice and diplomatic. I'm really hoping you can help me. And I just show up in person all the time. I've done that so often when I can't get, and I CC everybody under the sun when I have a request for something, like everybody. Doesn't, you know, random friends. I'm just like adding people to the list. So there's some sort of accountability or something. But yeah, I will just show up. Hi, you know, is the assistant principal here today? I would like to talk to, you know, whatever. I'm really concerned. And usually that helps. But again, sad that it requires so much effort. You know, I'm not trying to fight you. I don't, you know, I'm just trying to, I just have an ask. That's it.
I think you make such a great point. Number one, showing up in person does make a huge difference because they have to respond immediately.
Yes.
Because you're right there, right? As opposed to a phone call or an email or a text, which can be put off. And so that is really helpful. And unfortunately, like you said, the squeaky wheel does get the oil. It just does. And also, like you said, coming with a great attitude, because if you are persistent, with a smile on your face, you're going to get a lot further. Just psychologically, you're not going to create so much defenses and the people that you're talking to. And it's hard, but it does matter. When you come angry, people just tend to shut down and they are not as motivated to help you. And so I've definitely seen that coming and being, you know, willing to have conversations, asking that this become a collaborative thing, not demanding, but continuing to be firm and assertive is helpful. And in person is really good. Yeah.
I would say, you know, before you go in person too, is do some grounding exercises, meditation, prayer, journal it out, stream of consciousness, everything you are feeling so that you can go and be nice and assertive and diplomatic and state what you need for your kid. Take care of you, take care of your heart, take care of your central nervous system before you go into that situation that could really, really activate you and push old wounds, push the grief buttons that's, you know, that get hit when something happens with our child. So we don't want to come from all of that because we can come from a very angsty place. And like you said, it's that doesn't get us anywhere often.
It doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve our kids. And I would like to double on that and say, and give yourself space afterwards. Because we may do all that prep, we go, we have the conversation, and then we leave and we might go straight to something else. And we haven't given ourselves time to process what just happened, to really care for ourselves. We kind of just push down and go. And if you can give yourself some time and space to do that afterwards too, you're caring for yourself long term.
That's yummy. Yes. So needed. I feel like, honestly, we could start and end our days like that because our days are challenging. So if we just give ourselves a little bit of love in the beginning of the day and a little bit of love at the end of the day, it's a good sandwich.
Oh, yes. Make the space for that. Set the intention for that.
I like that. Well, I would encourage any of our listeners, if you have had a bullying situation and you just feel like getting it off your chest, you can leave us a voicemail on SpeakPipe. We would love to hear from you. And certainly if you have any other questions, if anybody who's listening has a question for our and Ask Us Anything episode, please let us know, send it in. You can message through Instagram or you can leave a voicemail message and tell us that we have permission to use that in an episode. And we would love to hear from you.
And remember, we see you and we love you.
Thanks so much for listening today. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization called We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms by offering support groups that are virtual and in person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood await you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only and is not a substitute and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast, linked in our show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.